You're listening to the CX Pod from TTech and the Customer Strategist Journal.
Hi, and welcome to the CX Pod. I'm Liz Glogowski, Editor-in-Chief of the Customer Strategist Journal. Today, we will be talking about an always hot topic, data analytics and customer feedback. Specifically, as companies look to create frictionless experiences, how can they make the data collection and application process frictionless as well? So I'm here today with Mike Soilu and Nazli Chemlabel, executives from Pisano, a technology firm built to help companies collect feedback through physical and digital touchpoints, engage with customers, and analyze metrics that matter. Now, Mike and Nazli live and breathe data for CX improvements, working with companies in Europe and the Middle East. So I'm excited to hear their insight on the topic. So welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Hi.
So to start, we hear a lot in the industry that the frictionless experience is the ultimate goal and that you want to create as easy a time for customers as possible. But it's kind of hard to do that and create these seamless interactions that lead to great experiences if you don't understand the customer perspective, if you don't understand how they interact with your company and what their point of view is on some of those interactions. So maybe to start, can you talk about the need for getting that level of customer insight and maybe what types of data might work best to inform some of those experiences?
We've seen with our customers that it's very crucial to have a kind of empathical kind of view and try to see if what they're doing in their experiences and what types of touch points they're at. For example, if they're at a store, you know, they're trying to get out, they're trying to get their product and pay for it and get out. And you need to be kind of informed about that. And we've seen that once you kind of understand the whole customer journey and what people are doing, it's pretty easy to come up with frictionless, ways to contact people and make it easy for people.
Yeah, and I think being relevant and reaching the customers at the right time is really crucial. So, for example, if we go forward with our kiosk example, it's important to identify the key touch points of the customers. So the example with the store, if you try to reach them while they're, you know, in a line, and if you don't ask the right question, you're not going to be able to get, you know, the correct answer or like the right way of answer. So I think it's really important to be at the right moment to reach the clients at the right moment.
Yeah, another good example about that is, for example, asking for the Net Promoter Score. You know, that's mm-hmm. a common way to understand people's views of your product or your service. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest points of that is when you ask those NPS questions. So is it during the experience? Is it after the experience? Or how long after is it after the experience? So that's important to realize, because if you know, for example, your customer is kind of rushing along in their experience and then maybe have a pause, for example, when they leave the store and maybe waiting for an Uber to arrive or waiting for their taxi. And if you can see those types of opportunities to engage with customers, maybe sending a push notification, an SMS for feedback might be a good solution for your engagement problem.
After you identify the touch points, it's actually important to understand your customers too. You know, the feeling aspect of it and being more personal and trying to make them feel, you know, welcomed rather than trying to annoy them.
Yeah.
So the type of the question is also very, very important.
Right. So you could ask the same question a few different ways and they'll be more likely to answer it depending on how you ask it. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Another interesting point for the question types is, for example, we have lots of different types of questions that you could use in, for example, getting normal satisfaction scores. Mm-hmm. So you can do it with, three options, five options. You know, you can go up to an NPS scale with 11 options. And, you know, all of those actually affect the way people consider your service and affect the way they rate you, right? So And I think, me personally, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all solution to that. You really need to, again, I mean, just really go deep into your customer journey and figure out what types of prompts or questions will kind of get the most value out of their feedback.
Getting customers to actually give you feedback is probably a bit of a challenge. So how would you say you can recommend companies to really make the case for customers of why they would want to give you information and maybe how to do it?
That's actually a question that we get a lot. And it's actually very surprising for people to, you know, when they start really going, diving into this problem, you know, trying to solve this, they see that actually customers love to give feedback. But again, I mean, you need to know when to ask and how to ask, right? So once you kind of start doing that, you know, testing phase and trying to figure out how to approach your customers. And once you get that, you know, process rolling, it's a very fast process. You know, you just try out different ways, different in different points, and it's really surprising. So I would say, you know, once you start to be really serious about this subject, it's really very surprising results. Are out there, really. Almost with all of our customers, we've seen very positive results.
Just to add to that, it even increases much more when the customers actually see some action after the feedback. So it's important to, yes, collect the right information, collecting the right feedback, but it's also very crucial at the same importance that if a company is being able to take action according to that feedback. So when the customers actually see that some things are changing or they're being heard, it doesn't have to be that something is necessarily have to change, but when they feel that they're being heard, that increases that engagement.
As companies become more and more digital, are you seeing different ways that customers are providing feedback? Are there different channels or more emerging sorts of feedback avenues that you're working with?
Yeah. The one example that I love to give is the offline world, right? I mean, you can be digital and offline, right? So really focusing on things that seem kind of not too hip or, you know, not too modern. But there are some really effective solutions. You can tie in all your touch points into one platform on a digital platform where everyone can see it. So, yeah, I think the real improvements and the real revolution is in the offline space. We see this with large companies that are opening, you know, stores and, you know, like the Amazon stores and all that. I think the offline is a new growth opportunity for a lot of companies. And I think there are some really nice ways you can get feedback from offline locations. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ways that offline is still relevant?
Yeah, I think of it this way. I mean, when you're trying to you know, date someone, for example, you know, you can chat with them on WhatsApp, or you can go and have a real conversation in the real place. And I think it's like that with brands too. You need to have an experience with the brand to really make it stick. And I think the, you know, more and more companies are seeing this value in the real, you know, the experiential marketing people, you know, all that. I think the real value in today's world is with you know, special moments that you create with your customer. And in the digital space, I think the chatbots and the live engagements are very important because, as Nazlı said, you need to be able to engage with your customers after their feedback, and, you know, they need to see if you've acted on it, for example, if you really care. You know, those things are very important in today's customers' eyes,
and especially social media, because the feedback is there for the whole world to see. So companies really need to act fast. And, you know, if it's a negative feedback, they have to provide a solution for the customers. And it'll be a negative view of the company overall. So I think social media has been having a greater impact over the last couple of years. And I think that's going to be steady for the next period.
For companies looking to gather more insight around the customer experience, what do you recommend they do to either get started or make improvements?
When you're starting with your feedback program, it's really important to, again, just to analyze your customer journey and try to figure out the major points of interaction with your customers. So that might be your online e-store checkout web page. It can be maybe an email newsletter you sent. So just starting with a simple touch point and then trying to figure out what the customer is going through there and then building on top of that, I think is the fastest ways to get started with this. And then because once you get the results and once you start to work on that, you can really see opportunities for growth and to expand your feedback program into potentially all of your touch points.
And then how can then what you collect data-wise or the feedback that you learn, how do you help companies incorporate that or take action on that?
It begins with what type of information the companies want to collect. So touching base on what Mike just mentioned, identifying the touch points and identifying actually what they want to fix, the target actually is really, really important. When you identify what you're planning on receiving, then you get to plan the right questions to ask. And then after you ask the right questions, based on, the feedback, maybe the test data collection, then you can actually group those data. So it's important to actually group the data that you collect and take meaning out of it. And then based on that groupings and targets, then you can actually identify which actions to take. And you can do this, instantly now. You don't have to wait a couple of days or the next day. You can actually receive the feedback, automatically have it grouped, and then with someone, if it's in store, if it's offline, it can be improved in store, or if it's online, you can chat with the customer. So I think the most important aspect of it is the beginning.
Now we're starting to go into the kind of the team aspect of this feedback, acting on feedback. And starting to build out a team is, I think, really crucial for a successful, program. You need to kind of start to think about who's going to answer potentially if you have a problem, who's going to deal with that problem, and who's going to own your score, your feedback score. So starting to think about that internally in your team is another next step in collecting great feedback and starting to act on feedback. And, as Naza said, with technology, you can get notified about everything. You can have, escalation structures where, if people don't respond to issues, you can send notifications to other people in your team. And it's really efficient. There are great ways to start managing your customer experience.
Both of you work in the market and probably see a lot of good, bad, and ugly of these sorts of customer feedback programs. So can you talk a little bit about some of the best examples of companies that are doing this today?
Yeah, one of my favorites is Apple, actually. Again, it's an offline experience. And you go to the store, you talk to a genius and they help you out, or they fix your phone or, all that. And then once you're back at home, you get, I think it's about like a few hours later, you get an email, and then that email has the name of the person that helped you and asks you, how was your experience in Apple with Mike, right? And I think that's a great way to really kind of let the customer know, you care about their experience. And actually, the nice thing about that is they also care about when you're going to read that email. So they try to optimize actually when you receive that email, so you're likely to respond.
So one of the largest banks in Turkey, we're working with them, İşbank. So they wanted to focus on their branches overall around Turkey. So they wanted to deliver the perfect customer experience for branch experience especially. So we had for that. That's an example for offline integration. So we had a kiosk in every branch, and this is one of the results that we got. Was I think the interesting part was the overall motivation of the employees in the branch. It actually increased, and that was something İşbank was not expecting. For example, because the employees in the branch were able to fix solutions or get feedback if they did something good, they got feedback from that too. So it kind of motivated the employees and they really, really liked it. And we have an example, I think, like one of the branch employees moved to another branch and asked us to have the Sano kiosk. So yeah. They like to get feedback, even the employees. And also they actually increased their overall customer satisfaction with the kiosk because they were able to identify if there was a problem in the branch and take action instantly.
It's amazing what the types of issues they uncovered is just mind-blowing for me because, you get things from, air conditioning not working to, the Wi-Fi is, slow and things like that. You wouldn't expect to hear about those stuff and you don't really think about it. You think about, how can I get people to, get more credit or, things like that, business KPIs. But I think thinking about their experience with your brand is just really crucial in today's world.
Now, both of you work with companies in Europe and around the world. And now with the GDPR privacy regulations being put in place, how might that impact business and impact people's customer feedback programs?
I think GDPR is a great step forward for ensuring people's privacy is well respected and companies really start to take data seriously because a few months ago, I was at an event and the speaker was giving an example about how some chief data officers really don't know where actually the data they have is physically or in which products or which services or which databases, And I think that's a bad thing for the customers and for people in general. I think the GDPR is going to really help solve a lot of those issues. And in terms of collecting feedback, again, I think the real spirit of the law is trying to make sure that people really know what they're signing up for and being really clear about how you're going to use their data and where it's going to be stored, who's going to see it, and things like that. So when you're building out your feedback program, you really need to kind of be clear in what you're trying to achieve with that feedback. And take extra care to communicate that well with your customer. Mm-hmm. And, it goes back to the basics of really communicating with your customers. You need to be clear. You need to really care about what happens to their data. Mm-hmm. And if you do those things, I think there's no big issue with the regulation.
I think if you do it, like as Mike mentioned, having the right way of connecting with their customers, I think at one point it's an opportunity for companies too. It's to get consent from future customers maybe. So it's actually, even from online channels, you can get additional consent from clients. But it's crucial to say, what you're going to use their data for.
What recommendations do you have for companies that are looking to create more frictionless experiences by leveraging their data and understanding their customer journey?
So I think, one of the biggest things that every company today should really focus on is, what's happening to my customers? What kind of experience are they going through? What are they, having problems trying to do, Where is the biggest, the single most difficult thing in my, for example, buying process? You need to start thinking about what do people really go through. That's the major, the biggest point that I want to make is the empathy part of feedback. So once you get that figured out and you start asking questions to your customer, you're really surprised to see that they tell you a lot of stuff. And then that just creates a wealth of data. And once you get that flow started, you can start to do things like ask questions for your marketing campaigns or you can ask questions about personalizing their experience and, maybe in their newsletters, all that stuff is really helpful for kind of having a conversation with your customer. And they're all just a means of actually communicating with your customer. In today's world, you need to be able to talk to your customer. It's a much more social world in terms of being able to talk to your customer, right? We see that in the social media space. Having a voice, being able to make jokes and, things like that. I think in today's world, EQ is very important for brands. So, once you get the data, now it's actually really trivial to be able to gain insight from data because we have a bunch of new technologies where, you know, you can really draw correlations and really deep dive into data and see, start to build ideas around what actually is affecting your major KPIs. Mm-hmm. So one of the interesting examples there was the overall sentiment, the overall satisfaction scores in retail branches was really affected by the weather. It's a really weird thing there. And, you know, once you put the map out the weather conditions like rain and snow and things like that, you can really see interesting connections in what happens with your customers. So, you know, again, it's just ways to understand your customer, get closer, and, you know, start to figure out what's going to resonate with them and try to have a healthy communication structure.
I agree with Mike. I mean, especially the point where you have to be more personal and the conversation should be more sociable. So, you know, frictionless means, yeah, it has to shorten the path from collecting data to actionable insight. But at the same time, it should make it easier both for the customer and the brand. So that's what we're kind of focusing our energy on with our own products, you know, making it easier for both parties. And being more personal and kind of even for our own customers, we're trying to be more personal and trying to understand their needs much better and reaching out to them with the right message and with the right time, with the right questions. So I think that's in the new world, that's crucial.
Yeah.
Now, if people want to know more, how can they contact you? Where can they find you?
They can contact me by email. My email is nazli.camlibel @pisano.co. It's a very long, but
name last name,
yeah. Name last name @pisano.co.
And, you know, we have, as a feedback company, we have a live chat on our website, and you can just, you know, chat away, and we're there and listening.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for your time today. And thank you for providing some fantastic insight about this important topic.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
To learn more about bringing humanity to business, come see us at ttech.com or subscribe to our journal at customerstrategistjournal.com. Thanks. See you next time.